Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation. How many of us never really even think about how we want to live our life? Each day really does matter.
Even if your hands are shaking and your faith is broken.
Personal failures are never final with the power of Jesus' love.
Do it with a heart wide open.
Go ahead, start today.
Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say.
I'm Jim Burns. Now, if you're like most people, you have a very full life. Sometimes that life is rewarding, other times it's quite challenging. But let me ask you something. If you knew you only had 1 month to live, can you honestly say that you would die without any regrets whatsoever? Well, Pastor Kerry Shook talked with several men and several women who literally had only days left to live, and he asked them about how their priorities changed once they learned their time on earth was almost gone. Well, his study led him and his wife, Chris, to write a fascinating book on the topic, and during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with Kerry Shook about this topic, 30 Days to a No Regrets Life. That's what we're talking about today on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you want to be in the know now about Azusa Pacific, you can follow APU on Twitter and receive updates on the latest APU news and events. All you have to do is go to twitter.com/AzusaPacific. And while you're there, also, you can subscribe to follow Dr. Jim Burns, too. His tweets are great. Of course, we connect his tweets to his Facebook account. So if you want to follow Jim on Facebook, you can get his Twitter. Well, you get the idea. We're on social media, and it's a great way for us to spread the word. Continuing now with a two-part conversation with pastor and author Kerry Shook, recorded a couple of years ago when Kerry had released the book called 1 Month to Live, but it's a great attitude adjustment for us, especially 30 Days to a No Regrets Life is our theme. Here once again is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, smiling today. It's a continuing conversation between Kerry Shook and myself talking about keys to making each day matter. Kerry is a senior pastor of the Fellowship of the Woodlands. It's in Houston, Texas, and one of the fastest growing churches in America. Incredible communicator, incredible ministry. Actually, it's a worldwide ministry. He's been married to his wonderful wife who co-wrote the book, Chris, and they have four adolescents. Wow, four adolescents. That's a lot of people, Kerry. Yeah. Welcome back to the program.
Great to be back with you, Jim.
You know, each day really does matter. And being all God created us to be, we have to be passionate, fully alive, living without regrets. And you wrote an incredible book called 1 Month to Live. I said previously that it was a very influential book in my life. And I have loved, you know, the content. To kind of recap for some of the listeners that didn't hear last time, how did you get to the concept of, you know, living 1 month to live?
Sure. Well, we needed a drastic sort of in-your-face question because it was so easy for us to get off track in life in our busy lives. And I think we're very normal people that have busy, crazy lives like we all do. And so we just began asking this question, what would I do if I had 1 month to live? And we've been asking that question every day. And it really came from seeing so many people that we'd ministered to who were down to the last month or several months to live, and they just really had a whole new clarity on their priorities. And we just begin to ask, why wait? Why can't we live this way now? And it's really hard to at times because we just start thinking we're going to be here forever. But life is finite. It's temporal. Our life will end here on this earth as we know it. But that shouldn't cause us to fear. It should liberate us and set us free to really live, especially as believers. We don't have to fear death. We get to go to heaven, but we should fear a wasted life.
Yeah, and it's amazing how powerful it is. I remember one night I was reading this. I was telling you during the break that I read this as a devotional time, and I remember one night reading a chapter, and I looked over at my wife, Kathy, who was also reading another book, and I just kind of put my arm around her, and I said, you know what, I love you, and you know, if I ever died, like say in the next 30 days, I just want you to, and I kind of had this emotional thing, and she looked at me, and she goes, are you sick? What is going on with you? Did you drink something?
That may be the response you get at first when you start living this way. It's like, what's wrong? Are you okay?
Exactly. At one point, you found out that your mom had only 30 days to live. Mm-hmm. That influenced you.
Yeah, it was my mother-in-law, my wife's mom. And the interesting thing about that, Jim, is that my wife, she's in her early 40s now, and she wouldn't mind me saying that. But when her mom was the same age that my wife is now, she found out she had 1 month to live. And she had cancer. She lived a little longer than that, but the most wonderful thing about my mother-in-law is that she lived the exact same way the day after she found out the news she had 1 month to live. The very next day, she went about her business the same way. Why? Because she'd been living intentionally for the several years before that. She was always quick to tell people how she felt about them. She was quick to ask for forgiveness when she felt like she hurt someone. She was focused on the things that matter most, you know, her kids, her relationship with the Lord. And so she, the very next day after she found out the news, she was just the same as she was the day before. Now, I'm afraid that for most of us, that's not the case. I mean, and that's why we really seek to live this way, is because we need that drastic question to help us live intentionally, to realize, hey, this could be my last month on earth. And the whole point of the challenge is not that you're going to die in a month, that Lord willing, you're going to live many more years. But if you live this way for a month, you'll be a different person at the end of the month, and you can turn it into a lifestyle.
Right. Four principles you talk about: live passionately, love completely, learn humbly, and live boldly. How'd you come up with those?
Well, we really looked at Christ's life. We knew that Jesus knew when he had 30 days to live. So how did he live? And we began to study the life of Christ, and he knew when he had 30 days to the cross. Most of us won't know when we're down to our last month, but he really lived out these principles. The first one, live passionately. I really believe God has called us to live a passionate life. He's not called us to live a comfortable life, but he's called us to live a passionate life. Howard Thurman says, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs is people who've come alive. And God wants us to come alive. But too many times we just settle for going through the motions. And in life, we start playing it safe, and our goal becomes security and comfort. And God never called us to security, but he called us to passion. And so we really challenge people in the book to live from the passions that God has placed in their heart. So how do you know if a passion is from God? Well, first, it'll be so big only God can do it. And then secondly, it will be something that'll make a difference in the life of someone else. Sometimes we start thinking about something we're passionate about, but it becomes a selfish passion. And I believe God calls us to live out a passion that's going to make a difference in the life of someone else. But God does want us to live from the passions he's placed in our heart.
Mm-hmm. Great, great, great word. You say that people, when their days are numbered, the ones who are doing it right, they wake up with a grateful heart. Mm,
totally. You enjoy every moment, you know, just every little thing, just, you know, just the cool air when they walk outside. They just appreciate every little thing. And it's so important for us to realize that this is our life, to get out of this someday syndrome and stop thinking someday when things settle down, but to start living today and appreciate it, everything that you go through today, because this is life. It's sort of like that roller coaster ride we talked about last time, that the roller coaster ride is awe-inspiring and frightening all at the same time, and that's the way life is. And we need to enjoy every moment, every wonderful, awe-inspiring moment, every dizzying moment, every fearful moment, every crowded moment, because we've got to enjoy each moment because this is our life.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we want to do that, but we're just holding on. We're afraid to let go and allow God to really take care of us like that. And you've got a story about your son when he was 8 on the monkey bars.
Yeah. When my son was, you know, 8 or 9 years old, I took him to the park, and Jim, he wanted to get up on the monkey bars and he couldn't reach it. So I lifted him up and he grabbed hold of the monkey bars, and his feet were about 3 or 4 feet off the ground. And he was really proud of holding on. And then I said, okay, Josh, you know, just let go and I'll catch you. And he said, no, get me down. And I said, well, just let go and I'll catch you. And he said, no, get me down. You know, I know some of the moms listening probably think I'm a cruel dad right now, but I just wanted him to learn that he could trust me. And but that little guy held on with all his might until his knuckles turned white, and he couldn't hold on any longer. And finally, he let go, and I caught him. Big smile came across his face, and I set him down, and he ran off to play and forgot all about it. And but God really spoke to me that that's exactly the way I treat him so many times. I hold on and I try to control everything. I try to control my problems. I try to control other people. And I try to do things in my own strength. But then when I can't hold on any longer, my knuckles turn white, I finally let go, and he catches me and he holds me close. And he says, "You're my child. I created you with my own hands. I died to buy you back. Trust me. You can just rest in me." And I that's what the Lord's been teaching me more and more, and I certainly don't have it figured out, but every day of my life I get to that place where I have to let go.
Right. Great comment, and actually a word for so many of us who are going through tough times. We need to make sure that we do need to let go and allow God to take control of it.
Amen. What a popular topic this has become since Carrie and Chris Shook, his wife, wrote the book, 1 Month to Live. So many people, thousands of hearts and lives have been touched by this this material. And we share it with you today as a book that Dr. Jim Burns recommends as well. Now, I say share it today. We're not giving away copies of the book. The book is available for purchase wherever Christian books are sold. And if you'd like a link to the Shook's website, you can learn more about their ministry. We do have that for you. That doesn't cost anything. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section, look at the listing for today's program. You'll find it there. Also, these Monday through Friday editions of the Homeward broadcast are also podcast through iTunes, and we've made that process very simple for you. We streamlined it. Go to homeward.com, radio broadcast section, hit the podcast button, and follow the prompts.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hey, I'm home!
Mom? What's this? Dear Jacob, dinner is in the microwave, and make sure to brush your teeth after you take a shower. And no video games until your homework is done. Oh, man. I'll be home late again. Page me or call my cell before you go to bed. Love, Mom. Well, Scruff, it looks like we've got the whole house to ourselves again.
It's no joke. All studies on positive family living say that the key to successful families hinge on families spending meaningful time together, like at the dinner table. You know what that means, don't you? Soccer moms and soccer dads who leave work early to be at their kids' activities are building bonds of connection that won't soon be broken. Well, for my free tip sheet called The Power of Being There, log on to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Carrie Shook with us. Keys to Making Each Day Matter. Incredible conversation with Carrie. Incredible man. Carrie's a senior pastor of Fellowship of the Woodlands. It's in Houston, Texas, one of the fastest growing churches in America, and really has a worldwide ministry in a wonderful way. Married for over 25 years to his wife, 4 children, all adolescents, which is amazing. We were talking at the break about just how that works. That's not an easy thing right there. You know, before the break, we were talking about releasing our lives. We're so controlling so many times to God, and that's not an easy thing. But you talk about how personal failures are never final with the power of Jesus' love, and I want you to unpack that for me.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, as long as you're breathing, you still have a chance to become the person God's created you to be. And God is the God of the second chance, and we see it over and over again. And there's a chapter in the book that talks about Peter and how, you know, his failure and how God took that failure and turned it really into one of his finest moments, changed it completely. And God can do that in our lives. And I talk about motocross. Now, I've never really done motocross, but I've got some friends who do motocross, and they tell me about this crash, Jim, that's called the high side crash, that when you're leaning in with the motorcycle and the forces flip you to the outside on a turn, it's a very violent crash. Yeah. It's the worst kind of crash. And really, Peter had a high side crash. You know, he just wiped out completely. He told the Lord that he was going to stand up for him, and, you know, that he would never, you know, deny him, and he's the one that just bombed out. And it reminds me of myself so many times. You know, I feel like I'm going to do great things for God, and then the next thing you know, I'm falling on my face. But right. God is the God of the second chance. And as long as you're still breathing, you still have a chance to become that person God created you to be. And one of the goals of our book is to help people start living the life that God has called them to, with your relationships, in your family, in your job, just very practical things to take you to a new depth in Christ.
And one of the things, Carrie, that you say is you really can't live 1 month to live if you do it without forgiving. And forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do, whether it's forgiving ourselves or forgiving someone else. What do you see as the key to understanding how to forgive?
Well, that's been a real theme we've heard from people who've taken the 1 month to live challenge. And, you know, we get all these stories on our website constantly that are about forgiveness. And I think it's because if you really start thinking that you could meet your maker in a month, then you want to be right with him. You want to be right with others. We all start thinking of people in our lives that maybe we need to, you know, just to have that conversation with and make sure we're right. And I had a woman the other day tell me, she said, "Carrie, when I took the challenge, the first thing I did was forgive my ex-husband who hurt me deeply." And she said, "It just changed everything in my life. My life's never been the same since I took the challenge because of that forgiveness." And she said, "I always thought he didn't deserve forgiveness." And she said, "He doesn't, but neither do I. I don't deserve forgiveness." And so this forgiveness thing is so important. And I think it can only be done with God's power. Yeah. It's natural to hold on to hurt, but it's supernatural to forgive. But I think if you step out and you take that first step and you choose to forgive, then God gives you the power to follow through.
Well, you know, and it's so true because, you know, so many families live with at least low-level anger and low-level lack of forgiveness because we're messy. Families are messy. Marriages are messy.
Totally.
So if we can get past that, then we're going to be able to have a life that we really didn't even expect. At the same time, you're big on learning to fight fair. And really, that's a part of the forgiveness factor as well. You've had to learn how to do that yourself, haven't you?
Oh, totally. We have a chapter called Boxing Ring, and it's how to get in the fight. And I was like a lot of guys, I think, that, you know, I would do the rope-a-dope, is what I call it, the old Muhammad Ali tactic, where I would just want to avoid the conflict. You know, I would just want to get out of there, and I just didn't like conflict. But I've learned to stay in the game and stay in the fight and to learn to fight fair and not to take it out on each other, but really to talk it out. And whenever I'm tempted, whenever Chris brings up a tough issue, when I'm tempted to just try to ignore it or brush it aside, I intentionally now just stay in the game. And we've decided we're going to stay at it. One time in church, we brought out a ping pong table and on the stage, and we played ping pong together the whole service, Jim, just back and forth. And Chris said, "This is the way Carrie would react whenever I would bring up a tough issue." And she served it, and I just stood there and let the ball drop.
Can relate to that.
But our whole goal now is to stay at the table. Now, and there are times, too, when we'd start slamming it at each other, you know, and try to really hit it each other and try to score points, you know, on the argument, and that doesn't work either. But if you can just stay at the table and just learn to talk about it, even though it's tough, even though you get angry, even though you have conflict, just stay at the table and just keep working through. And, you know, after that service, we passed out ping pong balls, and I've got a lot of people in the church who years later still have that ping pong ball up on their mantle or on their desk, and they say, "That just reminds me I've got to fight fair and I've got to stay at the table, and it's okay to have conflict as long as I do it right."
Yeah, great, great input. You talk about spiritual motion sickness and how that's really a kind of a chronic soul disease. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think we're just moving from one thing to the next so fast, and we don't realize that our souls are sick.
Yeah.
But then when you stop for a little bit, you realize you're in disequilibrium spiritually. And if you don't stop and take that time and create that God space, eventually it's going to start affecting every area of your life. Eventually you'll notice it.
And really, part of the 30-day challenge then is to pretty much reevaluate everything you do. You said looking at your calendar, your credit card from even last month is going to tell you, you know, how you spend your time, how you spend your resources. So we've got to reevaluate even things like that, the material side.
Yeah, every little thing. And when you ask that question, what would I do if I had 1 month to live? And you really start living that way and thinking that way, it changes everything that you do. And you realize, you know, if I had 1 month to live, I would really want to focus on the things that are most important. And then I would really want to do something that's going to leave an impact. When we did this experiment with our staff, and that's how it really started in my family. And then I took it to our staff and I said, "Guys, I want you to live the next 30 days as if it's your last, not because you're going to die, but because you're going to live, but really seek to do that." And my first thought was they're all going to quit, go home and just be with their families.
That's right. That's right.
But what they did is they didn't miss a ball game for their family. They didn't miss anything important, but they had a whole new level of passion for the church because every one of them said, "You know, I really want to do something that's going to outlast me. I want to do something this month that's going to be here after I'm gone."
Right. Great comment. So many times what we do is we get so busy doing the important things that we miss the most important things. Or what I say a lot of times is we're overcommitted and we're underconnected in the areas that we want to be involved in the most.
Totally.
Your advice to someone, and we don't have much time left, but your advice to someone who feels like they're stuck in a rut. They want to do this. I'm ready to sign up, but I'm just kind of stuck in a monotonous rut. How do they get past it?
You know, I think we're always trying to do giant things to change our lives. And right. what I've noticed in this challenge and talked to so many people that just a few little things can change everything. I had a man the other day tell me, Kerry, when I took the challenge, the first thing I thought of doing, and we really recommend writing down 4 or 5 things you're going to do this month that'll be different. And he said, I said I was going to take a lunch to my son, who's like 10 years old at school. And he said, I didn't think much of it, but I thought that'll be good. So I went by and I picked up a Happy Meal and brought it to him. And he said his eyes just lit up. And he was just so proud to have his dad here at school. And that's the age before they become teenagers where they are proud of dad. You know? And he said on the way back to class, his son reached out and grabbed his hand. And he this guy my age begins to tear up telling me this. He said, I just had no idea the impact it would make. And so what I say to people who really want to make changes in their life, but they're just stuck. You know, you just get in these ruts, start going through the motions of life rather than experiencing all the emotion of life. And I just say just a few little things can make a big difference. Start small, because it's really the little things at the end of our lives that we regret the most that we didn't do. Not the big, giant things. And we've had people that have gone skydiving. We've had people that have done some crazy things, you know, with 1 month to live. And we love that. That's fun and it's passionate. But it's the little things that make the biggest difference. And those are the things that we don't do that we're going to regret when we come to the end.
Amen. And on that note, we end today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, actually the interview portion with Kerry Shook, author and pastor of the Church of the Woodlands in the Woodlands, Texas. Has been Dr. Jim Burns' guest for the past couple of programs talking about 30 Days to a No Regrets Life. If you missed any part of this program, we stream audio at homeward.com. You can also order a copy of the full-length audio CD of both Part 1 and Part 2. We'll send it to you as our way of thanking you for your gift of any amount in support of our ministry. Write to P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California. The zip code 92693. And Jim, at the start of the last edition of the program, I mentioned this was a big deal for us here internally because of all the big changes that have happened to so many of us.
You know what? I want to encourage you not to wait until tragedy strikes to give your priorities a checkup. I mean, if you feel you need to make some changes to improve the quality of your life and your relationships, I say, go ahead, make them, start today. As you know, my dad passed away just a few months ago, and during his final days, he told me that he actually had no regrets. I mean, just an amazing conversation. And especially, he had no regrets when, in fact, he didn't live a perfect life. I mean, Dad was not perfect. I mean, after all, no one does.
Right.
But as we talked about making his peace with God, it got me thinking, you know, my dad was 89 when he died, but how many of us who are much younger never really even think about this or about regrets or about how we want to live our life? We get into a routine with our spouses, we get into a routine with our kids and with our jobs and our church and whatever, and sometimes that rhythm can spin us out of control if we're not careful. Well, that's why I want to encourage you today to take the time to make the adjustments. Honestly, what's a small adjustment you can make today that makes it worthy of you actually listening to part of this program? Whatever you need to do to get your priorities back in order, do it. I mean, get some friends together, hold each other accountable. You will not regret that. In fact, I'm thinking of a scripture right now where Jesus was at a wedding. It was at the beginning of his ministry, actually before his ministry started. And the wedding feast was going on fine, and then they ran out of wine. And so the mother came up to Jesus and said, you know what, we got a problem here. We need more wine. And he said to her, with almost a smirk on his face, I would imagine, you know, my time isn't ready for this. The mother smiled, and moms can do this, looked at the steward and said, do whatever he tells you to do. And then Jesus sort of got up, and I would imagine, and went and did the wine thing. Well, you know, the phrase, do what he tells you to do, is a great phrase. Mm. And that's a phrase I've been thinking a lot about. What is God speaking to you about? Now, again, oftentimes he doesn't speak through a loud shout, but sometimes through a small, still voice. And I think if we're talking about a no-regrets life, do what he tells you to do. Just make that one adjustment.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. It's a great way for us to live. And again, if you missed information about how to get a copy of Kerry Shook's book, it's available wherever Christian books are sold. But 1 Month to Live is a book we recommend here at Homeward. And we have a link on our website today at homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com, at the radio broadcast section. And when you're there, you can find the listing for today's program. Hit Kerry Shook's name. It's hotkeyed. Takes you right to his website. Also, be sure to browse a while at homeward.com. Lots of different resources, too. If you're looking for a kind of an attitude adjustment or a lifestyle adjustment because of the busyness of modern life and how you think it's potentially keeping you from hearing the voice of God. We've got free articles and tip sheets and video clips available when you go to the articles and media section of our online resource center today at homeward.com.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program. Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families together. And obviously, you can give us a call. Roger gives the number often. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.